Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, the 26th, the day after Christmas. I hope your Christmas Day and your Christmas Eve were as pleasant and relaxing and, I guess, all around generally fulfilling as mine were. It was nice to have a little break from not doing the broadcast. And here we are. It's Christmas is over. That's the end of the Christmas music. I have to tell you, folks, much as I like Christmas music, I hate a whole month of it before Christmas. I like a lot of Christmas music, a lot of it. But, you know, a whole month of it from Thanksgiving to Christmas, like I say, sometimes it's just a little bit too much. I'm pleased to say that I didn't eat too much yesterday. And I actually have gotten some work done the last several days on my new book. I had put it aside for months, and now it's all falling into place, and I continue to be surprised at the amount of material which all points in the same direction, material from wide-ranging points of view that confirm so many things about so many things that we, as in you and I, talk about on this program on a regular basis. But the book ain't finished till it's finished, and I have a long weekend ahead of me, but I'm glad to be doing this show live tonight. I actually was kind of glad to be able to get back to it. Thought for a minute about taking another day off, but I thought, no, I'm here, I'm wide awake, I'm alive, and there may be a few live people out there listening, and there certainly will be many, many more people checking out the archives here on RBN. And as you know, these archives on RBN are absolutely free and enable people all over the world at any time, day or night, to listen to all our broadcasts. And that's the reason why you need to continue to support RBN. I had occasion to get on the internet today while I was working and played back some different recorded things on the internet, including, I might add, quite a bit of one of Alex Jones' rebroadcasts. And, you know, I have to say, criticisms of Alex aside, you know, he does serve a good purpose. He brings out a lot of important information. He has a wide variety of guests, and you know, he does his part. I'll be looking forward to joining Alex on his program to discuss my book, Final Judgment. And, of course, the Israeli Mossad role in the assassination of President Kennedy. You know, I re-listened to Alex's controversial broadcast with Jim Mars and Robert Groden, which I have discussed several times on this program with good reason. And, you know, I noticed that Jim Mars said that the best, that I'm paraphrasing, but he said, talking about the Kennedy assassination, the best motivation for murder is self-defense, and he went on to say that both the CIA and organized crime, as he called it, the mafia, faced danger at the hands of the Kennedy administration. Well, so did the State of Israel. It was Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion who told John F. Kennedy that Israel's existence was in danger. No, this is not something I gleaned by looking into the crystal ball or reading the tea leaves or tarot cards or looking in the pages of some anti-Semitic hate sheet. No, that is a quote from a mainstream author quoting the Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion, who did in fact consider the policies of the JFK administration to be a very threat to the survival of Israel. So based upon Jim Mars' equation there, Israel indeed did have as much reason to participate alongside the organized crime syndicate run by a Jewish devotee of Israel, Meyer Lansky, and the CIA through its Mossad devotee, James Angleton, number three man. I'll be really looking forward to getting this information out to Alex Jones' audience. Stay tuned, folks. A few more comments, you're welcome to call in here. 800-313-9443.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIC card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold's secure sleeve and secure badge holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770 because personal information should stay personal.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. Well, as I mentioned here in the program the other night, the Israelis had a Christmas present for our Christian and Muslim friends in the Gaza Strip. Israel has essentially vowed, the top political contenders in Israel have essentially vowed, not essentially, they have vowed to wipe Hamas off the map. They've made that clear in no uncertain terms. They're talking about military action, ladies and gentlemen. Bombing, killing, destruction. That's called murder. That's called genocide. Now, when President Ahmadinejad of Iran talked about the dismantling of the Zionist state, about its dissolution, about how it would fade into the past, he was not talking about acts of violence against Israel, but indeed the Israelis are talking about acts of violence against the Palestinians. The Washington Post said today that Israel has moved closer to invading the Gaza Strip. Their foreign minister has brushed off a call for restraint from Egypt's president. Well, folks, you know what? Let us pray that the military folks in Hamas hit the invaders hard. We've seen the little Palestinian kids, Christian and Muslim alike, standing side by side, throwing rocks at the tanks. And we've seen, of course, the Israelis killing these kids. Well, if this is how Israel wants to start off this year that lies ahead, if this is their Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's present, then let them pay the ultimate consequences, ladies and gentlemen. I'm tired of playing Mr. Nice Guy here. And, you know, it's you can't play Mr. Nice Guy anymore when you're dealing with murderers and monsters. Former Saudi ambassador to the United States wrote an interesting piece in the Washington Post today. Turkey Al-Faisal, Peace for the Mideast, is the title of Al-Faisal's column. And one of the points he makes, and I think this is very, very interesting, is that the United States, the newly elected President Barack Obama, should declare, this is his words, declare America's intention to work for a Middle East free of weapons of mass destruction, with a security umbrella and other incentives for countries that sign up, and a sanctions regime for those that don't. He says this would remove the issue of double standards that the Iranian government uses to raise support among its people for Iran's nuclear policy. It would also resolve the security concerns with which Israel's leaders justify their possession of nuclear weapons. Well, you know what this Saudi prince has said? It's no different. It's no different, ladies and gentlemen, what the U.S. Army War College said some time ago. In my book, The Golem, I have a chapter on this, on how the U.S. Army War College, some of our most respected military thinkers, people who are definitely supporters of the troops, people who are definitely Americans, not Nazis, not anti-Semites, not Hitler apologists, these people, our U.S. Army War College, said that Israel should sit down, Israel should open up its nuclear weapons, which officially don't exist, but everybody knows they exist, that Israel should open up its nuclear arsenal for international inspection. That, our U.S. Army War College, up there in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, that, they say, would, in fact, help bring about at least part of a resolution to some of the problems in the Middle East, and certainly would contribute to resolving the problem of nuclear proliferation. And, of course, it was this problem of nuclear proliferation that John F. Kennedy was very much concerned about, to the point that in that subject area he considered, that is, President Kennedy considered Israel's nuclear proliferation to be of the greatest danger that was facing the world at that time. Interesting point, huh, ladies and gentlemen? I think so. Well, you know, listening to Alex Jones' program today, and I've listened to some other programs, I believe one or two here on RBN over the last couple days, with a variety of hosts, I keep hearing people talking about the Anglo-American establishment. Now, Carol Quigley of Georgetown University, whom Bill Clinton had as a professor, who wrote the famous book Tragedy and Hope, and later a book called The Anglo-American Establishment. Of course, he did talk about this Anglo-American establishment. You know, I remember somebody called Hashem Talawi's program and talked about the DuPont family being part of this Anglo-American establishment. What this person forgot to mention was, and I called in and off the air and talked to Mark Glenn, who was co-hosting that day with Hashem, pointed out that even the DuPont Corporation of the famed old Anglo-American family, the DuPonts, or the French-American family in any case, that the DuPont Corporation at one point was bought out by the Bronfman family, who are hardly Anglo, and, well, they were Canadians. Edgar Bronfman is now an American, but, yes, they are very much part of the international Jewish establishment. I think the Bronfmans, if my memory serves me correctly, did divest themselves of the DuPont holdings that they purchased, but nonetheless, this kind of throws a monkey wrench in a lot of that theorizing about the Anglo-American establishment. Folks, you have to remember that the British Empire has largely been a creation of the Rothschild interests. And before that, before the Rothschilds even emerged as the powerful and central force that they are in international affairs, in international banking and commerce, there were a host of other very powerful Jewish families whose names have been lost in the shuffle. Or I should say they haven't been lost in the shuffle, but they are largely forgotten as a consequence of the rise of the Rothschilds. But I do recommend this, that if you want to get more information about this topic, you can go on the Internet. I found it on the Internet, but I had a copy of it, an original copy of it, in my personal files for many, many years, going back to the early 1980s. In fact, it originally belonged to the great American nationalist Ralph Townsend, who was prosecuted for sedition by Franklin Delano Roosevelt for daring to oppose Roosevelt's war policies. This item that used to belong to Ralph Townsend was a special report entitled How Jewry Turned England into a Plutocratic State, just like it sounds, ladies and gentlemen. It was published by the German government in a multiple variety of languages through their international news agency known as World Service, and English was among those languages. And this very lengthy report, if you do a Google search and put England into a plutocratic state, which is just part of the title, I'm sure you'll find it. It's a very interesting, in-depth analysis of the reality of the financial powers in Britain going back centuries. Even, in fact, before the birth or before the rise of the Rothschild dynasty. It's also interesting in that report, folks, you will see that that so much of this this talk we hear about the Anglo-American establishment, we'll find that it's not quite as Anglo as many people would like to believe. So, you know, although some people are accurate, I should say some people are honest in their analysis and talk of the Anglo-American elite, what we do have to remember is that the Rothschilds have been a primary force behind that. So check that out on the Internet, How Jewry Turned England into a Plutocratic State. I'm sorry if the term Jewry offends any of our listeners, but that is the title of the report. And I have to say it's a very well-written and very accurate report. So do check it out, How Jewry Turned England into a Plutocratic State. You'll find, incidentally, that a lot of the wealthy Jewish families intermarried with many of the titled aristocratic families in Britain. And that's another phenomenon that a lot of people are unaware about, or unaware of, I should say. Well, we are going to a break very, very shortly here, folks, and I will remind you that you're free to call in here. The number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. When we come back from the break, I'm going to read you some very interesting excerpts from the new book, The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes, by Avraham Berg, a longtime fixture, as was his father before him, in the Israeli establishment. He's really giving the Holocaust industry hell, and I think you'll find some of his comments very, very interesting. I certainly do, and I think you will as well. I had to laugh. Some of the things that I read in his book sound like things that I have said on this program and things which I have written. So I feel very, honored, amused, intrigued that this great Israeli statesman has echoed some of the very things I've said and for which I have been called a Jew hater and a Nazi and an enemy of Israel and the Jewish people, blah, 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 blah. All right, folks, stay tuned. And guess what? We do have one caller lined up. He'll be our first caller tonight. Your friend and mine, Jim from Texas. So stay tuned, if only to hear Jim. Stay tuned, folks.
Special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference, feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. As promised last week and now again tonight, I'm going to read you some excerpts from The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes, originally printed in Israel, now available here in the United States. The author's name is Avraham, kind of like Abraham with a V rather than a B, V as in victory, Berg, B-U-R-G. He notes in his foreword to the English edition that shortly after his book came out in Israel, an old man approached him and said, Berg, I'm very angry with you. Why? Asked Berg. Because of what you wrote. And what did I write? Berg asked. The old man said, you wrote against the Holocaust. And you? He asked the old man, would you write in support of the Holocaust? Well, listen to this. He says, when President George W. Bush declares a war that may seal my fate for better or worse, I must openly defend myself from him and the manipulations of an Israeli lobby that encourages dual loyalties. Boy, if I said that, oh, God. It's interesting. The second chapter in the book is entitled The Holocaust, Ever Present. Now, you know, I've said on this program, it's all Holocaust all the time. Not this program, but the rest of the mass media. And I'm sorry to say a lot of patriot media, too, is always talking about Hitler and the Holocaust and how we have to fight against Bushism because Bushism is Nazism akin to Hitlerism, blah, blah, blah. Well, Mr. Berg says, not a day passes without a mention of the Shoah, as they call the Holocaust, without a mention of the Shoah in the only newspaper that I read, Haaretz. The more I think about it, the more I am certain that the Shoah has become a theological pillar of the modern Jewish identity, and that it is one of the Jewish people's greatest challenges in modern times. He says, Israel accentuates and perpetuates a confrontational philosophy that is summed up in the phrase, the entire world is against us. I often have the uneasy feeling that Israel will not know how to live without conflict. An Israel of peace and tranquility, free of sudden outbreaks of ecstasy, melancholy, and hysteria, will simply not be. In the arena of war, the Shoah is the main generator that feeds the mentalities of confrontation and catastrophic Zionism. That is, folks, as I understand it, the concept that Zionism, in terms of the actual state of Israel, that the state of Israel requires constant threat of destruction and catastrophe and war to survive. That, I guess, is that concept of war Zionism. He goes on to say, folks, we must admit that present-day Israel and its ways contribute to the rise in hatred of Jews. The responsibility for anti-Semitism is not ours. Yet the mere existence of Israel is a thorn in the side of those who do not like us and requires more serious investigation and discussion than the shallow notion, quote, that the world is against us no matter what we do. Mr. Berg says, such beliefs are suicidal, desperate, and defeatist. I do not subscribe to them. He goes on. He says, listen to this. He says, the Shoah is more present in our lives than God. Listening to the Israeli, Jewish, and even wider world's discourse today reveals that the Shoah is the founding experience not just of our national consciousness, but that of the Western world as a whole. The Shoah is so pervasive that a study conducted a few years ago in a Tel Aviv teaching school found that more than 90% of those questioned view the Shoah as the most important experience of Jewish history. This makes the Shoah more important than the creation of the world, the exodus from Egypt, the delivering of the Torah on Mount Sinai, etc., etc., etc. He refers to the absolute monopoly and the dominance of the Shoah on every aspect of our lives. He says it translates it into a ridiculous sacrilege that converts piercing pain into hollowness and kitsch. He refers to the Shoah epidemic. The Shoah is woven to varying degrees in almost all of Israel's political arguments. Unlike other events of the past, the Shoah does not recede, but is coming closer to us all the time. It is a past that is present, maintained, monitored, heard, and represented. He calls it the Israeli trauma competition with the rest of the world. Provocative stuff, ladies and gentlemen. He talks about an Iraqi-born Israeli who took a visit to Poland. Or I should say, no, forgive me, his parents were from Iraq, and consequently, he was not the son of Holocaust survivors, but he was born in Israel. Well, this guy went to Poland and visited one of the concentration camps there, and the guy said, everything came back to me. It was then, Mr. Berg asked this guy, where are your parents from? And the guy said, from Iraq. And Mr. Berg asks this question, how could it be that everything came back to him? Another, what is that, recovered memory, ladies and gentlemen? A little bit more when we come back. You're welcome to call here, 800-313-9443. We will go to the phone very shortly here. We've got Jim in Texas aboard with us. Also Brian in Pennsylvania. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIT card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold's secure sleeve and secure badge holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770, because personal information should stay personal.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. If you tuned in during the last segment before the break and heard some shocking comments that were coming out of my mouth, bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, these are not my words. These are not paraphrases unless I indicate so. These are the words written by Avraham Berg, one of the unchallenged modern-day leaders of Israel, now in retirement, taking some very harsh positions regarding the actions of Israel domestically and internationally, and specifically in regard to this issue of the Holocaust. Now, it's interesting. He talks about the militarism of Israel and says that Hanukkah, which we always hear about around Christmas time, was actually a minor holiday in Jewish lore, but instead it's now been made into a major holiday celebrating the Maccabi, a war hero. An emphasis was put on the military victory by the weak and the few, he says. Interesting. He says that American Jews, like Israelis, are stuck in Auschwitz, raising the Shoah banner high to the sky and exploiting it politically. He mentions how AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, had a poster in its office referring to Masada, the site, according to legend, long since discredited, through my words, ladies and gentlemen, where In his words, allegedly Jewish warriors chose to commit suicide with their families rather than to surrender to superior Roman forces. At AIPAC's headquarters, he saw this sign, this poster saying, Masada, a living memory. And he asks a provocative question, and I quote, is collective suicide the contemporary motto of American Jews? He says this. Jewish American leaders tend to justify their government's wars and support the most right-wing foreign policies, especially vis-a-vis Israel and the Middle East. They are against everybody, including Germany, Russia, and the Arab countries. Furthermore, the official organized Jewish voice is a power to reckon with in every election campaign. It is very difficult to be elected to high office in America against the wishes of the Jewish lobby. Financial, and remember, folks, this is a prominent Israeli writing here. This is not coming from an anti-Semitic hate sheet or from the Nazi report. He writes, financial and organizational resources, public support, legitimacy, and not least the damage a Jewish lobby can cause to unwanted candidates, turn Jewish involvement in American politics into a factor with strategic international consequences. Good Lord, this could have been taken out of half a dozen things that I've written. I could go on here, folks. I guess there's a couple more things. You need to read the book for yourselves. It's very interesting. You know, here in the United States, we combine the study of the Holocaust and World War II as though it's all one and the same. But he says, my favorite bookshops in Jerusalem, like in New York, organize their bookshelves so that Shoah literature, Holocaust literature, is on one shelf and World War II on another. Now, you see, that's very interesting, folks, because, you know, most Americans merge the Holocaust and World War II in their minds, but in the Jewish memory, World War II, in which my father and three of his brothers and so many other Americans fought to save the Jewish people, that war is not really ranked up there as importance, I guess, in the Jewish mindset. Rather disturbing, and it should come as a shock to a lot of people. Listen to this. Mr. Berg writes, the Knesset should strike down the exclusive clause of quote-unquote crimes against the Jewish people. That appears in some Israeli legislation. He says, there are no more real Nazis. Our people should return to be part of the family of nations. We have a section on crimes against humanity, and it should suffice. Are the Jewish people not a part of humanity? Talking about the Armenian Holocaust and how there were people who wanted to commemorate that, a reporter for the Israeli daily Yediot Aharonot quoted a major Jewish leader in the United States, quote, a day commemorating the Armenians will lead to other memorial days, to the Native Americans, Vietnamese, Irish, and or any other people. It will damage the importance of Shoah Day, that is Holocaust Remembrance Day. He says, are we present-day deniers? Have we not learned our lesson? Israel and the Jewish people, by expropriating and monopolizing the Shoah, deny all the other mass killings. It is a denial by means of miniaturizing, dwarfing, and disregarding. The result of this is a world that is saturated with small and big Holocaust. I would add parenthetically, ladies and gentlemen, that just because he is talking about the Holocaust, and I am quoting him, does not necessarily mean that I agree with all of the legends we hear about the Holocaust. But he does say the Holocaust is over. It is time for us to rise from its ashes. Kind of frightening, though, ladies and gentlemen. In the end, despite all these good things that Mr. Berg has written, he says it's time to establish a world religion organization. It can be established in Israel on an international sovereign land to express its own nature and authority. It will belong to the world, et cetera, et cetera. This sounds to me, ladies and gentlemen, frankly, like some of those Jewish teachings of which I am aware, in which it is suggested that ultimately all peoples and all religions will merge into one. But I ask you, who's going to be deciding what the world religion is? Just a thought. All right, let's go. We've got Jim in Texas. Jim, I haven't heard from you in a while. I was starting to worry about you, but you're alive.
Yeah, Mike, I'm alive.
How's it going, Jim?
I've been keeping track of you, though.
All right, and that's good.
First of all, I have to offer my congratulations. You've gone about 2 weeks now, or pretty close to it, of saying the word Jewish or Jew without the obligatory caveat that not all Jews, not every last living, breathing Jew in the world, and then start reminiscing about all the wonderful Jews that you've known.
All right.
You know the show I'm talking about. And I have a question for you, though. This appearance of yours on Alex Jones, are you going to straighten him out on the role of the Mossad and the Kennedy assassination?
Well, I'll tell you what, if I don't straighten Alex out on it, I think I will probably at least bring a message to a lot of people that they have definitely never heard before. I think it's important that people do get the, I don't even want to say the other side of the coin, but the, as I put it in Final Judgment, the hidden picture on the other side of the jigsaw puzzle, and that hidden picture is a great big Israeli flag. I think once people have heard just even a few minutes of what I have to say, that they will see that so many of these other writers have, well, they haven't talked about the Israeli connection, and I think people will somewhat begin to see that there is an Israeli connection, and it's one that cannot, dare I say, be denied.
But the thing that has me worried, Mike, is I'm afraid you're going to come back after that appearance and you're going to start doing your show over a bullhorn, shouting about Germanic death cults and black popes and Jesuits and Bilderbergers and all these other people.
You know, I've always wanted to get a bullhorn, but I don't think I'd have the guts to use it publicly.
Well, as long as you don't get converted by Brother Alex.
No, I don't think I will be. I'm hoping maybe to convert Brother Alex.
I don't think that's possible.
That probably won't happen.
So other than that, did you get a Christmas card from Brother Abe?
No, I didn't get a Christmas card from him, but I had occasion to do some reading and writing about him the last couple days. You know, the guy really is a piece of work.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
Yeah, you know, but you know, the scary part about it, Jim, is that this is a guy who, when, you know, when Abe Foxman speaks, people listen, like they always said, I think about, was it Merrill Lynch? You know, this guy gets such an inordinate amount of publicity, and everything that he says is treated with such reverence. And sadly enough, people like him are the kind of people who are misleading so many people out there. But, you know, I do think more and more people are starting to wake up, and more people are talking openly about the things that we talk about on this show. And they're less afraid than they were in the past because, you know what it comes down to? Just like with this issue of the Holocaust, people have had it up to their eyeballs. Every time they turn around, they hear about the Holocaust, and it's like, okay, enough already. We know, 6 million. Move on, please. You know, so I think there is some hope out there.
Mike, I was just reading on the Internet today, I believe it was, that there's 5 movies starting yesterday coming out, all of them about, in some aspect or another, about the Holocaust.
Oh, well, I'm gonna rush out and see all of them. I feel obligated to, because, you know, so many of my critics and the critics of people who think like I do and you do and as our listeners do, they say that we only expose ourselves to one point of view. And, you know, that's so ridiculous, because if you watch television or listen to mainstream radio or read any news magazine, quote-unquote news magazine, or any paper, you get that other point of view rammed down your throats and into other openings in your mind and body and soul at every given opportunity. As I say, all Holocaust all the time. So I'm going to, just for the record, go see those movies so that I know how evil the Nazis are.
Well, Mike, when you do, please look up at the head of the line, because I might be there, because I'm just all so excited I can't talk about it, that I want to go see all of these, you know, all this new information.
Maybe we can sneak into the theater, and if the if the movies are really bad, maybe we can sneak out. I recall one time when I was about 8 years old, a friend of mine and I went to a triple matinee of Jerry Lewis movies, and the first one was really bad. And in the second one, which was even worse, we decided we needed to get the hell out of that theater. But, you know, we were kids. We didn't know that you could leave the theater at any time at your own volition. So my friend was assigned a task of crawling along the floor to see if the exit door could be pushed open, while I kept an eye out to see if the big manager was going to catch us leaving the theater. We finally managed to slip out.
Mike, that was a rhetorical question. You said that the first two Jerry Lewis movies were bad. All Jerry Lewis's movies were bad.
Well, I learned that awfully quick.
The only thing that comes close anymore is the Adam Sandler and Ben Stiller movies. They're pretty close.
Yeah, they're. I have to say, they are cut. They are cut from the same cloth, so to speak. It's a pretty dirty, rotten rag when it comes right down to it.
The only people that ever enjoyed Jerry Lewis movies were the French, and that ought to tell you pretty much about the French right there.
Well, I don't want to offend our French listeners, Jim, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to move on here, but it's good to hear from you, Jim.
Okay. Hey, give my regards to Brian coming up.
Yeah, Brian's coming up here, the evil Brian. Brian, how are you doing?
Hi, Mike.
What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. You mentioned how jewelry turned England into a plutocratic state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, I leapt off my comfortable sofa, ran to my reference library, and ripped out my copy. And it is definitely a good 25-page read.
Oh, yeah. It's just filled with, I mean, from beginning to end.
Yeah, you can't get a better history lesson. It came out of Germany in 1940.
Yeah.
And one of the main characters in this thing, because I had it all highlighted and redlined, you know,
mm-hmm.
is a character named Samson Gideon.
Right.
And to give you some idea of how this Anglo-American canard kind of thought takes hold, his son, whose name was Simpson, married the daughter of the Chief Justice, whose name was John Eardley Wilmot. He took his wife's name, and he was granted the title Lord Eardley of Spalding. So, you know, there's an Anglo. Is that an Anglo thing there?
That's like Jerry Lewis being made a member of the British House of Lords, or
yeah.
Or,
so is he now anglicized?
I guess that's what it means. And I'm sure there's some patriot writers out there who are going to point towards Lord Wilmot or whatever the hell his title is and say, oh, there's part of that Anglo-American establishment, those evil white Anglo-Saxon Protestant conspirators, those big, bad Protestant bankers that are misruling the world.
It just seems like when you start mentioning these books and articles, I just have it, you know.
Oh, that's good.
I did download it from the web, so it is available.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I just happened to, I was using that document, one of these copies that I had of it, and it clicked, and I needed some extensive quotes from it, and I thought, you know, this might finally be on the web, and lo and behold, I discovered it there. So that saved me a lot of retyping. I can tell you that. Yeah. I recommend that people get up there and download it for themselves because it's a remarkable document.
It is. I never read anything like it before, and it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, I remember the copy that I found was in the personal library of this guy Ralph Townsend that I mentioned years and years ago. I was visiting out there. It's a long story, but anyway, I never knew Ralph Townsend, but I knew his widow. And it just floored me when I started reading it because I had been familiar with a lot of that stuff like the talk about the Anglo-American establishment, you know, and I just never was conscious of the fact that there was nothing Anglo about it. Maybe here in the United States, that's kind of, you know, here in the United States, there were a lot of wealthy families of English extraction, part of the so-called WASP establishment. Who were, you know, kind of still loyal to Britain and so forth from a traditional standpoint and tied through Freemasonry and so forth. But if you actually get into the real nature of the British establishment, you do find that there it's just not not quite as quote-unquote Anglo as a lot of people would like to believe.
Now, the British establishment went into debt so deeply to people like Gideon hundreds of years ago that one is prone to conclude that their allegiance was not to the British people anymore. It was to the people that they accrued the debt from.
The people that were running them. Yeah, Brian, I tell you what, we're going to the break. Hang on there if you would.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to the break. We'll be back in a minute. Talk more with Brian. Stay tuned.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIC card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770 because personal information should stay personal.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour here. We have Brian from Pennsylvania aboard. You know, Brian, during the break, I was just thinking, you know, we often hear about the Dutch East India Company and the British East India Company and all these other major international trading firms coming out of Imperial Europe, the Belgians and the French and the thises and the thats. But, you know, if you really start looking at it, and Father Coughlin's newspaper, Social Justice, wrote a series of articles about this back in the 1930s and early 1940s, and I'm going to try to have the Barnes Review reprint some of them. These articles pointed out that most of these firms and the financial concerns associated with them were Jewish banking interests, many of them directly part of the Rothschild family, family concerns, or otherwise, you know, interrelated banking interests. So what we think of as British imperialism really might better be described as Yiddish imperialism.
Yeah, I learned some time ago that the Dutch East India Company was just a cover for basically Jewish mercantile monopoly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you look at even the whole the British intrigues in China that led to the Opium Wars and all of this stuff. You know, I've said this before on the show, you know, what they call the British Museum is really just an assembly of all the things that these imperialists acting on behalf of the Rothschild family looted from all of these other countries around the world. I mean, you know, it's, you know, and you know, what is happening today with U.S. foreign policy, you know, a lot of people like to say the United States is still just a colony of Britain, or that we're still under the rule of Britain, but, you know, it doesn't really make any difference one way or the other, because the fact is that, you know, it's the Rothschild Empire that rules Britain, just as the Rothschild Empire rules the United States today. You know, the Rockefellers were never as big as a lot of people like to think they were. Even a Council on Foreign Relations, as I know you know, Brian, Council on Foreign Relations is just a junior cousin based here in New York of the Rothschild family's Royal Institute of International Affairs. But because the Rockefellers are not Jewish, that gives a lot of people their cover to criticize the Rockefellers and say, well, I criticize international bankers like the Rockefellers, and they're not Jewish, so therefore I'm not anti-Jewish. You know, if people go through these convolutions and these contortions, you know, to prove that they're not this or that they are that. But, you know, when it all comes right down to it, the real source of all this wealth and this power and this destructive intrigue that has brought the United States to bankruptcy, that has the United States in the hellish position that it's in today, all comes back to what we've been talking about. You can't get away from it.
No. When you read this, when this article is read by many people, they'll learn about something called the South Sea Bubble. This is the same kind of event that happened in the 1700s that indebted the British monarchy to the usual suspects' money power.
That's right. I had forgotten about that.
That's happening today. It's the same. Eventually, you wind up at the mercy of the moneyed interests.
Yeah, and that's exactly where we are here today. You know, So all those people out there that want to talk about the international bankers but want to try to avoid that other aspect of it, the fact that this international banking community is very much a creation of the Rothschild family and other allied Jewish families, they need to read this thing that we've been talking about here, How Jewry Turned England into a Plutocratic State.
Exactly.
All right, Brian, good call. Always good to hear from you. We are wrapping up the hour here, folks. We did have one other caller, Dave from South Carolina, but he knows where to catch us, and we'll see y'all here next week, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good weekend. Have a good, safe weekend.